Chapter 17. Arriving Where One Should. The wizard flew through the sky, his robe and beard blowing in the air as he raced to get where he was going. The quest had summoned him, and as a committed member of the Lost Arts, he could not ignore the summoning. "I'm almost there," he said slowly, as if the words were a spell his mind needed to hear. The wizard was ready for what was coming. It was time. There was no one and no way that anything could stop the course he was now flying. Descending from the sky, he reached the ground and walked with purpose to the small shack near the not-so-distant river. There he bartered with a fat, smelly scoundrel named Victor for passage and a driver to where he needed to travel.
"Why don't you just fly the rest of the way by yourself?" Victor asked.
"I'm a wizard. I don't need to explain myself."
"Right," Victor said. "Then hop in."
The short ride was fraught with peril and uncertainty, but eventually Victor, with his lifetime of experience, navigated the wizard safely to his destination. When they arrived, Victor looked at the destination and whispered,
"Are you sure you want to be dropped off here? I don't think the folk here will have much patience for your type."
"My type?" the wizard said seriously. "I don't think you know what you're talking about. You see, there are only two types of people, those who do and those who complain about doing. I am the former, and I am confident that there are some here who are most definitely also my type."
"Well then, have at it," Victor said. "I only care about your payment, and I don't care for the way you're talking to me."
"Then let me talk to you like this. It is a fool who laughs at the odd. Different is just an understanding you have not yet grasped."
The scoundrel laughed and went on his way, leaving the wizard to deal with whatever type of trouble lay ahead by himself. Chapter 18. All That Glimmers Is Not Gold. The resort in New York was old. It had been built in 1922 by a man who had made his fortune manufacturing soap. It was 11 stories tall and had 10 large ornate and gold-painted columns on the front of it. There was a big revolving door with 4 regular glass doors on either side. Most people who stayed at the resort in New York were old, as in older, or maybe oldest. They were wealthy socialites who had stayed at the hotel in the past and remembered it from when they weren't quite so oldest. Ozzy and Siggy walked out of the cold and into the hotel through the revolving door. It was filled with people who looked as stiff as if they had been warned that any quick movement would cause an explosion. The theme of the lobby appeared to be, "You can never have enough gold." Everything was a brash, shiny yellow, the couches, the counters, the fixtures, and the walls. There was a man in one corner of the lobby playing a gold-painted piano and a gold-plated fountain in the center that gurgled and dripped.
"Who designed this place?" Siggy said with disgust.
"Someone who hates silver?" Ozzy suggested.
They took a slow stroll around the lobby, scanning the nooks, the crannies, or any other area where a wizard might be waiting for them. Clark stuck his head out of Ozzy's pocket and did some looking himself.
"There," the bird said excitedly. "There by the stairs."
"That's a woman," Ozzy informed him, "and she looks 100 years old."
"Well," Clark said defensively, "she moves like Rin. Besides, wizards can shapeshift." "There."
"That's a fern," Ozzy said. On their second time around the lobby, a friendly woman at the front desk greeted them as they passed. Aside from Ozzy and Siggy, she was the youngest person in the place. She had perfect, deep brown skin, tight pulled-up hair, and a loose smile. The name tag on her shirt said Margot.
May I help you? Margot asked.
We're just looking, Siggy answered her cautiously. Waiting for someone, actually.
A guest here? She questioned. If you know their name, I can ring their room.
That's okay, Ozzy said. We like walking around this place. It looks like the inside of a treasure chest.
Margot let her smile shine.
That's an interesting way of putting it. You know, I've worked here for 15 years and I've never thought of that.
From her post behind the front desk, she glanced out at the lobby.
And you're right. It does.
Of course, most treasure chests I've read about don't have pianos in them, Ozzy pointed out.
That's true, Margot agreed. Well, if you get tired of walking around, there's a restaurant on the second floor. It doesn't look like the inside of a treasure chest, but the food's good.
Thanks, Siggy said, trying to move Ozzy away from the front desk and over to a spot where they could discuss their next move.
We're not hungry.
I am, Ozzy admitted.
Siggy stared at him. Ozzy had grown up alone in the woods, and because of that, his social skills were still a bit unrefined.
There were times when he was more honest than normal people were used to.
This was one of those times. Siggy pinched his arm, the international signal for stop talking.
Right, Ozzy added. Now that I think about it, I'm not hungry.
Well, Margot said as they moved away, if you change your mind, the restaurant is just up that wide set of stairs. They specialize in all-day breakfast.
Ozzy and Siggy froze. An audible gasp came from Ozzy's right front pocket. Both he and Siggy slowly swiveled their heads back around to look at Margot.
All-day breakfast? Ozzy asked.
Margot nodded. But you can also order things like a cheeseburger and fries if you'd like.
I think we're both hungry now, Siggy said.
They left the front desk and walked directly to the wide staircase. Taking the steps two at a time, they climbed to the second floor and stood at the entrance of the restaurant. The place was called Egg Up, and it looked as old as the lobby, but with a touch less gold.
This has to mean something, right? Siggy asked Ozzy as they stood staring.
Clark poked his head out of the pocket.
You think Rin the Yellow is in there?
I think we should find out, Ozzy replied.
The three of them entered the restaurant through a wide wooden door and glanced around, hoping that the presence of breakfast food would be the good omen they were after.
Or at the very least, a good omelet, Ozzy said.
Is that a joke? Siggy asked.
I don't think so, he answered honestly.
It definitely wasn't, Clark chirped in. I've heard jokes before, good ones even, and that wasn't one.
The door closed behind them, and a woman with small hips and wide shoulders approached.
How many? She asked.
Two,
Ozzy replied. His pocket grumbled. Clark hated to be left out. The woman showed them to a table as their eyes searched the dimly lit restaurant for any sign of a wizard. They couldn't see one, but wizards are a tricky bunch. It's not easy to know where or when they might show up. But both, all three of them, were hopeful and hungry for not only omelets, but answers. Chapter 19. Money Makes the Madness. Ray knew the resort in New York very well, because he owned it. As far as hotels go, it was one of the smaller ones he had in his portfolio, but it was a landmark, and it drew a certain clientele, an older, wealthier clientele, that some of his more modern hotels didn't. Sitting in an overstuffed golden chair near the massive golden fireplace, he had watched Ozzy and Siggy walk around his golden lobby. He was relieved that Ozzy was now under the roof of a building over which he had ultimate control. Ray observed the boy and girl talk to Margot and then ascend the stairs.
It should be noted that Ray Dench was an organized, driven person. He was also disgustingly selfish. He had been born with money, raised with wealth, and now basked in the obscene fortune he had established. He was eccentric, but not in a good way. He wasn't interesting or quirky, just spoiled and angry. His goal was to gain more of everything. In his mind, he didn't have enough because he did not yet own it all. Ray's only struggle was his inability to leave New York. The anxiety he felt at the very thought of it made him feel weak and damaged. If he were to make a list of his personal pros and cons, his need to never leave New York would be the only item on the con side, whereas the pros would be a list longer than most arms, plus an additional leg, could contain. Charles had made a mistake by not capturing Ozzy when he took the boy's parents years ago, but Ozzy had hidden from their captors and was presumed dead. That had been one of Charles's biggest missteps. Of course, Charles was dead now, and Ray had plans to finish something that had begun many years before. Ray stood up from the chair and walked across the gold tiles to the front desk.
Margot.
Mr. Dench, she replied coldly.
I saw you talking to those children.
Yes. Her answer was flat and lifeless. The staff at Resort in New York did not like Mr. Dench. It was always a bad day when he came around. He talked to people in a way that made it feel like he was fishing for something that he could use to punish them later.
What did they want? Ray asked, while knowing perfectly well why Ozzy and Siggy were there.
Nothing. They're waiting for someone.
Did they say who?
No.
Children don't come in here very often.
Margot wasn't sure what Mr. Dench wanted her to say, so she went with,
That's true.
Well, no bother. They're just children.
Interesting children, she said, hoping he would go away. Margot shifted and stepped back a couple of inches from her spot behind the counter. Her body language was shouting to any within eyesight that Mr. Dench made her very uncomfortable.
Really?
Ray asked.
Interesting?
How so?
The boy has a birthmark on his left hand. Ray just smiled. He was aware of the mark. Charles had told him about it shortly before he died. It was much more than a birthmark, and considerably more interesting than Margot could possibly understand.
Are you okay, sir?
Margot asked nervously. Ray looked her in the eyes. His expression gave her the creeps, gifted her the willies, and delivered a whole shipping container full of concern. She stepped back another inch.
Have you ever been so close to something that it took your breath away? He asked her.
You know, there's a sort of beautiful fear that comes with knowing that you will soon be risking it all for something unimaginable.
I'm not sure I understand.
You don't need to, Ray said with a grin.
Margot didn't return the smile. Mr. Dench walked away from the front desk and took the wide stairs up to the second floor, three at a time. The moment he had been waiting for had arrived.
Chapter 20. Hope. The Egg Up restaurant was far fancier than any eating establishment Ozzy had ever been in or seen before. There were windows around two sides, giving the diners a remarkable view of the streets of New York. It had dimly lit chandeliers above all the tables, and the waitstaff were wearing yolk-colored skirts and vests. The utensils on the table were gold, and they had been polished to a fine gleam. Clark was quite taken with Ozzy's fork. The bird poked his small head up over the edge of the table as he stood on Ozzy's lap,
and gazed at the cutlery.
I thought I knew what forks were,
he chirped breathlessly. Hoping that it would quiet Clark, Ozzie picked up his fork and placed it on his lap so that the bird could gaze at it better.
Okay, Siggy said as she glanced around the room. We're here in a hotel whose initials spell out Rin.
Rin-E, Ozzie reminded her.
Close enough. We're also in a restaurant that serves breakfast all day. So where's my dad?
Outside the windows, snow began to fall. A man with a yolky vest and blonde mustache stepped up to their table and handed them both menus. He had tiny hands and shook just a little, as if he were nervous or over-caffeinated, or perhaps uncertain how to serve anyone under the age of 80.
What would you like to drink? He asked. Water, Siggy said.
Sprite, Ozzie said.
The man turned like a top and walked away. Outside, the snow fell harder.
Isn't it a little early in the year for there to be snow? Siggy asked as she looked out the windows.
I don't know, Ozzie replied. I haven't been here since I was 7.
But I'm sure you have a concept of seasons.
Actually, I'm still not great with months and years. Things were always just cold or warm growing up.
The waiter returned to drop off their drinks and take their order. He suggested a few fancy things, but they both settled on pancakes, scrambled eggs, hash browns, and bacon. After they'd ordered, the waiter walked off again.
He seemed disappointed with what we ordered, didn't he?
Ozzie said.
He seems like the kind of person that would be disappointed regardless.
Clark stuck his head up over the table.
Are you guys using your spoons?
Ozzie picked up his spoon and set it on his lap.
The restaurant was filled with the sound of classical music coming from the speakers overhead. The music was soft and mixed well with the din of people talking and eating.
Ozzie watched the snow outside for a few moments and then glanced around. About half the tables were occupied, and the elderly patrons picked at things like hard-boiled eggs and fluffy omelets. Everybody besides Ozzie and Siggy looked wealthy and bored.
Ozzie's finger buzzed.
He moved his hand under the table so Siggy wouldn't see.
It buzzed again.
Whoa,
Clark chirped as he sat perched on Ozzie's lap, still staring at the cutlery.
I think I felt something.
Ozzie's finger buzzed again.
Wait, the bird tweeted. That's coming from your finger.
Ozzie moved his hand from his lap and made a fist to stop the vibration.
What's happening? Siggy asked in a panic. You're not going to jump out another window, are you?
It's nothing.
Ozzie's neck was turning a light red.
It's just my finger. Can I use your phone?
Siggy pulled her phone out of her bag and handed it to Ozzie.
If you're calling who I think you're calling, he's not going to answer.
Ever since Rin had disappeared 4 months before, Ozzie had dialed his number hundreds of times, hoping that the wizard would answer. Sadly, he never did.
It was the same number Ozzie had originally found in the Otter Rock Visitor's Guide, the same number he had called from the Chinese restaurant, and the same number Rin had once answered.
Siggy was right. There was no answer, just 7 rings followed by the sound of Rin inviting the caller to leave a message.
You've reached the phone of a wizard. I sense you're in need. Leave a meaningful message and I will try my best to travel through time and space to get back to you. If you're calling about the microwave I listed on Craigslist, I've decided to keep it. Until we speak in person, remember that all life is more than a bunch of colors carefully arranged. It is beep.
The recording cut off at the same spot it always did. Usually, Ozzie didn't leave a message, but as his finger buzzed, he felt compelled and desperate.
Hello, Rin, he said into the phone. Siggy and I are in New York waiting for you.
It would be very helpful if you answered your phone.
Say please,
Clark chirped. Please, Ozzy added. Oh yeah, I know you like people to leave messages that have meaning, so... Well, a wise man once told me that if you are experiencing a loss, take a moment to at least celebrate being alive. That wise man was you, and I still don't understand it. Please call us back.
Ozzy hung up.
You're getting better at leaving him messages, Siggy admitted.
I always feel stupid,
Ozzy said, looking at the phone in his hand. I'm just talking into a chunk of glass and metal, hoping that someone responds.
Excuse me, someone interrupted.
Ozzy and Siggy looked up. A man was standing next to their table, and he appeared to be talking to them. The man was a couple inches shorter than Ozzy's 6 feet. His shoulders were skinny and square, and he was standing so confidently that he looked fake. He had short, dark red hair that was heavily gray around the ears. He stared at Ozzy with his deep, brown eyes that were neither interesting nor comforting, just two pieces of brown ice giving off feelings of cold and discomfort. The man smiled, and his face became a bit more lifelike.
Yes, Ozzy said. Are you a waiter?
The man laughed.
No, I'm not qualified for that, he joked.
Oh, Ozzy said sincerely, it probably does take a lot of training. The man bristled slightly.
Let's not talk about waiters. Please, my name's Ray Dench. Do you mind if I have a seat?
Yes, Siggy spoke up. We do mind. We're waiting for someone. Ray looked around at the restaurant and then back at them.
Actually, I think that the someone you're waiting for is me.
Ozzy and Siggy's empty stomachs suddenly felt full of worry. They had traveled to New York for Rin. Now someone who appeared to lack warmth and humanity was telling them that he was their intended destination. Clark shifted on Ozzy's lap to stay out of sight and not be disturbed with what he was currently doing.
No, it's not you, Ozzy said to Ray. We're waiting for someone else.
Without receiving permission, Ray sat at one of the empty chairs at their table. He scooted in closer and then took the cloth napkin in front of him and placed it on his lap. His movements were calculated and annoying. He was like the human version of fingernails on a chalkboard.
You're mistaken, Ray said. You are waiting for me. Let me guess, you received a package with a flash drive.
Ozzy and Siggy exchanged worried glances.
First off, let me commend you for doing what you should have. It was very wise of you to come, Ozzy.
Ray switched his stare from Ozzy to Siggy and attempted to smile sincerely.
However,
it was a small, pleasant surprise to see that you brought a guest.
The mood didn't feel pleasant.
Who are you? Siggy asked.
As I mentioned, my name is Ray Dench, and this is my hotel.
Ozzy looked impressed. The whole thing?
Every bit of it, he bragged.
And you send plane tickets to get people to visit? Ozzy asked. Ray laughed, and it made him look even faker.
No, he said. Just you.
I don't understand, Ozzy said sincerely.
You will. You see, I own far more than just this hotel. You might say that most of New York has my fingerprints on it.
Sorry, Ozzy said.
Sorry?
Ray looked bothered. It must be horrible to have so many possessions to worry about. Ray wasn't enjoying Ozzy's naivete, and his knitted eyebrows showed it.
I'm not worried, Ozzy. I've achieved great wealth. I'm one of the most powerful people in the world.
Okay, Ozzy said. Congratulations.
There was no bite or snark in Ozzy's words, and Ray wasn't sure how to process them.
Thank you.
He dusted off his suit coat sleeve dismissively.
I apologize for getting off topic. This is a happy moment. You see, I'm the bearer of good news.
Ozzy and Siggy looked around as if some great reward was going to reveal itself, but everything looked just the way it already had. The place was still filled with old people and the smell of eggs, and outside, the snow was falling straight down in big flakes.
Is it the snow? Ozzy asked. Is that the surprise? No.
Ray took a deep breath.
It's not.
Don't you? Does it always snow this early in the year?
Siggy interrupted. Ray's fake face scrunched up into a much more human expression. He took a moment to exhale.
It's happened before, but I'm not here to deliver the weather. I'm here to deliver good news.
Then let's hear it, Siggy insisted, before we call the police and report that someone we don't know is sitting at our table and bragging about how powerful he is.
Ray stared at Siggy.
I can see why he brought you.
I didn't bring her, Ozzy corrected him. Siggy has a mind of her own. I was just happy she used it in a way that included me.
Well, then. Oh.
Ray was momentarily off his game. Somehow, two teenagers had thrown him off balance. It was not a feeling he enjoyed. He had addressed rooms full of world leaders and powerful people with ease. He had taken over companies and influenced governments without breaking a sweat. But now a couple of kids from Oregon were giving him fits. He sat up as straight as he could and pressed the mental reset button in his mind.
Listen, he said calmly. No more talk of snow. I have brought you here because I wanted to speak face to face. You see, Ozzy, I knew your parents.
Ozzy and Siggy both kept quiet and stared at him as if he were speaking a different language than the one they knew.
They were great friends of mine, he added. When I heard your story, I knew that I needed to meet you.
How did you hear the news? Siggy asked with suspicion.
I am very well read. There are not many things that escape my attention.
The way Ray said escape made the inside of Egg Up become as cold as the weather outside.
You could have just Skyped him, Siggy said.
I don't like such cold forms of communication, Ray replied briskly. Look, here we are, face to face.
He looked at Ozzy's left hand as it rested on the table.
Charles told me about your birthmark.
Ozzy's neck burned red. You worked with him? Clark heard the name Charles and pulled himself away from the spoon's gaze. He lifted his head in Ozzy's lap to pay better attention.
Hold on, Ray said. Before you go accusing me of anything, I want you to know that I am so sorry for what Charles did. He was a foolish man with a personal agenda. I am not him, and I only want to help.
By tricking me into coming here?
Well,
Ray stopped to smile cruelly.
I thought you might like to return to the city where you were born. And there are a few things I need to ask you.
Hearing Charles's name made Ozzy uneasy.
I think we should leave.
I'm sorry to hear you say that, Ray said sympathetically. And you should know that you can't, at least not yet. Let's not make this ugly. I just need a little information from you.
Ozzy's face burned. Siggy was sitting on the edge of her seat, looking as if she were going to pounce. The waiter returned to the table with their food. He saw Ray and began to twitch and stutter.
Mr. Dench, the waiter said. I didn't know you were here. Can I get you something?
No,
Ray said seriously, gazing at Ozzy.
I think I already have everything I need right here.
Ozzy and Siggy stared at the eggs and hash browns that had just been placed in front of them. The food was beautiful, but the mood was not.
Eat, Ray said.
No, thank you,
Ozzy whispered.
It's delicious.
Ozzy and Siggy stared at their food. Sometimes, loss of appetite is the least of one's concerns.
Chapter 21. Staring at the Enemy.
Ozzy and Siggy sat motionless at their table in Egg Up. Ray's cell phone rang, and he moved across the restaurant so he could talk in private. They watched him standing by the entrance, talking into his phone, and keeping an eye on them.
What do we do?
Ozzy whispered.
I'm not sure, but we need to get away from him. What if he has answers?
To what?
Clark stuck his head up over the edge of the table.
For what it's worth, I don't like him at all. He gives me the tweets.
The bird shivered in Ozzy's lap.
You should let me work him over.
Thanks, Clark, but I think it might be wise to find out what he knows.
What can he tell you? Your parents are gone, Siggy said kindly. It's horrible, but their deaths can't be changed by something this guy knows. And who does he think he is, luring you here and wanting us to follow him? We need to call the police.
Ray was done with his call and walking back to the table.
So, he said as he stood next to Ozzy,
why don't you two come with me to my office?
We can talk privately, and I can show you the information I have about your parents.
No thanks, Ozzy said.
Yeah.
Siggy was disgusted.
What makes you think that we would just follow you anywhere? We're leaving.
I don't think that's a good idea, Ray said. You see, there's nowhere for you to go.
Ray waved his hand, and six men in blue suits and dark glasses materialized all around the restaurant. It seemed as if they had stepped out of the wallpaper. They stood there looking menacing, their faces turned toward the boy and girl.
Don't be alarmed, Ray said. They're just a few of my security detail. They're here to protect me. They're also fast and can quiet a problem in seconds if needed.
Ozzy looked around the room, surprised that the old people eating didn't seem to even notice them. Ozzy was suddenly glad that he hadn't eaten his food, because if he had, he would be vomiting.
You can't frighten us, Siggy said,
even though the quiver in her lips seemed to suggest that he already had.
We can get the police.
Let me help with that.
Ray smiled and waved his hand again. A tall, thick man in a police uniform walked into the restaurant and up to their table. He had a big face with a wrinkled forehead and a strong chin. His chest was as big as a barrel, and his arms were the size of tree trunks. He stood next to Ray and looked down at Ozzy and Siggy.
Hello, Sergeant, Ray said. These children have something they want to say.
Ozzy was speechless. Siggy was not.
Are you really a cop?
I am. My name's Sergeant Windhorst.
His voice was strong but not brutal.
How may I help you?
We just want to leave, Siggy said, pointing at Ray. He's tricked us into coming here, and now we want to go.
I wouldn't advise that, the sergeant said. New York is a big place, and I never recommend children running around by themselves. There are just too many things that could go wrong. I suggest that you hear Mr. Dench out. He only wants to help.
Ozzy found his voice.
I don't understand. He can tell the police what to do?
Well, Sergeant Windhorst said, it's like this. We do what's best for the city, and helping Mr. Dench is always a benefit to New York. Now, why don't you both stand up and follow us? I think you'll be pleased by what he has to say.
We already aren't pleased, Siggy said. What if I just start screaming? The people eating here will help.
You might get a small scream out before we silence you, Ray said. But even if you screamed all day, these people wouldn't care. They have routines and concerns that don't involve helping you.
Understand? Sergeant Windhorst asked. Now, since we all know the deal, let's have you two follow Mr. Dench to his offices at the back of the courtyard.
It's a nice, private place to talk, Ray said.
Ozzy glanced around quickly, looking for anything he could use to fight their way out of the restaurant, but all he saw were security guards and old people who didn't seem to care what was happening. There was only one thing Ozzy could do. It was time to release the Clarkin.
Ozzy briefly glanced down into his lap and saw the bird look up and nod. The boy returned his gaze to Ray and tried to appear calm. He felt Clark positioning himself on his lap to launch up.
Ozzy smiled as if he knew something Ray didn't. Unfortunately, Ray knew something himself, and before Clark could spring up out of Ozzy's lap, a security guard's hand swooped down and grabbed the bird tightly. The movement was so sudden and so fast that neither Ozzy nor Clark saw it coming.
I've got it,
a tall, dark security guard reported.
Ozzy stood up.
Let him go! Right now, Siggy added as she jumped up from her chair.
Clark squawked loudly. For the first time, a few diners looked up from their meals to see what was going on. When they realized that they themselves were in no danger, they returned their full attention to their food.
Inside voices, Ray instructed all of them. This is no place for yelling.
What about kidnapping?
Ozzy asked loudly.
Let him go!
Ray waved at the tall, dark bodyguard.
Bring it here.
Stop calling me an it!
Clark chirped as he struggled to break free from the bodyguard's grip.
I have a name!
The bodyguard handed Clark to his boss. Ray held the bird tightly in his right hand and stared at him, nose to beak.
Amazing, Ray whispered.
That's better, the bird insisted. But most people call me Clark.
Emmett created you, didn't he?
If you mean Ozzy's dad, then yes. Now let me go so I can peck your eyes out.
Oh, I'm sure you would. I've heard stories.
Well, they're all true. Or false, depending on which ones make me look good.
Clark struggled.
Now let me go.
No.
Ray's voice was suddenly serious.
There were rumors of your creation years ago. I had heard that Emmett had invented a sentient bird, and even though I've never known anybody smarter than him, I still didn't believe it was possible.
Well, soak it in, Clark chirped loudly, because here I am. Now let me go.
No, Ray reiterated. You're a tremendous bonus.
You can't keep him, Ozzy insisted. You have no right.
Money buys me rights that others can't afford. Now come, Ray said with a syrupy kindness that made their teeth and hearts hurt. Let's go talk. I promise you'll be happy we did.
Ozzy and Siggy were frozen, unsure of what to do.
Come, Sergeant Windhorst said. You'll be safe.
Neither child believed the sergeant, but they had no other choice. They both stepped away from the table, looking miserable and scared. Outside the windows, the snow continued to fall.
Follow me.
Ray waved his bird-free hand and began to walk. Ozzy and Siggy reluctantly followed behind him and Sergeant Windhorst. The bodyguards moved in closer as if they were performing a synchronized dance they had rehearsed many times.
They formed a circle around Ozzy and Siggy as they traveled through the restaurant and down the wide stairs. Ray led the way, keeping his eyes directed forward. He didn't look back to see if things were in order, because he knew that thanks to his men, things were. He held Clark tightly in his right hand. As they crossed the lobby, Margot looked at the children. She saw them being herded by the bodyguards and quickly glanced away. Siggy tried to make eye contact with her, but she wasn't having any part of it. Margot had worked at the resort in New York for 15 years, and she knew perfectly well that some things were not her business. The somber group exited the back of the lobby through glass doors that led to a large courtyard behind the hotel. Chapter 22. Return of the Rin. Ozzy and Siggy stepped out into the courtyard, following Sergeant Windhorst and Ray. The cold pushed up against them like an annoying little brother. The sky was unusually dark for it being only afternoon, and the heavy clouds were practicing alchemy by turning water into a never-ending cascade of snowflakes. One of the bodyguards popped open a large umbrella and held it over Ray as they walked.
"You probably should let us go," Clark squawked. "I'm only going to warn you a handful of times."
"Please don't," Ray said. "I might have to remove your beak."
Ray led the small group along an outdoor walkway and beneath a wooden trellis that did an acceptable job of keeping the snow off of them. The fat clouds and inclement weather had chased everyone out of the courtyard and into the hotel. The lack of guests made the scene feel incomplete and ill-fitting. Looking out from under the trellis, Ozzy could see large trees and gardens that the snow was attempting to hide. The courtyard would have been beautiful in sunlight, but beneath the cinder-colored clouds and heavy snow, it seemed forgotten, a place best left alone. The only sound was that of snow crunching beneath their feet.
"Any suggestions?" Siggy whispered as they walked. "We're not really going to follow him somewhere we don't know, are we?"
"Excuse me," Ray interrupted Siggy. "Let's save our talking until we are out of the weather and in my office. I can't hear what you're saying, and I'd hate to miss anything important."
"Good luck with that," Clark told Ray. "They're both teenagers. They're going to talk whether you like it or not. We went to a movie last week, and during the good part, Siggy kept..."
"Quiet," Ray said. "I don't need some hunk of metal telling me what to do."
"Hunk? I have to say, for a bad guy, you're pretty free with the compliments. I like that. I actually think that all..."
"Quiet!"
Clark shut his beak. The snow continued to blanket the courtyard. With no wind, every flake fell straight down and blended into the mounds piling up on the ground. Ray turned off the walkway and marched directly through the snow across the center of the courtyard. The team of bodyguards continued to ring Ozzy and Siggy. They passed a large swimming pool and a massive fountain in the shape of a lion.
"Why is your office out here?" Siggy asked Ray.
"I have many offices," he answered without stopping or turning around. "This is just the most private. It also has access to the tools and instruments I want."
"Tools?"
Clark asked.
"Quiet."
"It's a good question," Ozzy spoke up. "Why would you need tools?"
"It's not what you think," Ray explained. "I'm not talking about hammers and needles. You need to open your mind and realize that anything can be a tool."
"I think you've proven that point nicely," Clark said.
Ozzy's finger buzzed, and the boy trembled. His shoulders and arms burned, and his already unsettled stomach contracted in pain. Snow fell all around him, making the scene look like a static-filled screen.
His head rocked and pictures of his past flashed inside his mind. He saw the cloaked house, his parents sitting on the porch. He heard their screams and relived his terror as he realized that his parents were being taken from him. He felt the loneliness and fear of being abandoned for so many years. His heart was racing and his mind ordered his feet to stop. Ray was connected to his past in some horrible way, which meant that he wouldn't take another step forward.
"Stop, Siggy!"
Ozzy said, throwing his words down like a hammer.
"We're done, Ray. This is wrong. You have to let us go. We're not going any farther."
Ray stopped and turned around. Through the falling snow, the man's eyes connected with Ozzy's. Despite the age and power difference, the boy didn't look away. The ring of bodyguards all came to a halt, and each one stared directly at the two children. Sergeant Windhorst put his hands on his hips.
"I told you two to do as instructed," the sergeant insisted.
"He can't force us to go somewhere," Ozzy said. "If you're going to hurt us or threaten us with tools, do it here."
The bodyguard holding the umbrella over Ray's head kept it positioned perfectly. Ray was the only one dry. Snow continued to build on everyone else's shoulders and head. Ray had Clark in his hand, and even under the dark clouds and white weather, his cruel snarl was visible on his fake face. Ray laughed softly.
"You don't understand.
I am not going to hurt you unless I have to.
But you should know that you have no choice in the matter. Stop walking, and my men will bind your arms and carry you, which means you will be joining me, and there is nothing you can do to change that.
So come,"
Ray waved with his free hand.
"Why make things more uncomfortable than they need to be? Besides, this is all for the best."
The way Ray said best made Ozzy and Siggy shiver more than the cold and snow.
"For the best of what?" Ozzy asked.
"Well, for me and my interests."
Ozzy and Siggy were so focused on Ray that they failed to notice the two bodyguards slipping up behind them. The men grabbed them and lifted Ozzy and Siggy as if they were made of nothing but feathers and fill.
"Let me go!" Siggy yelled.
Both fought against the men that held them, but their hold was too strong. Clark shook in Ray's hand, trying to escape, but it was no use. The three of them were bound and in trouble. Ozzy closed his eyes and tried to calm his mind. He felt his body shake, a feeling similar to that he'd felt on the top of the mountain as he fought Charles washed over him. He tried to control what Ray was doing. He willed the man to let Clark go. He focused on Siggy and her being released. Nothing. The bodyguards began to walk. Ozzy saw the building they were heading toward. It was 5 stories tall and made of stone. Tall trees surrounded it. Snow-covered ivy climbed every inch of stone. For those who care about architecture, it was an historic and imposing building with gargoyles staring down from the top ledge and arched windows that burned brightly. For Ozzy, however, it looked like a prison, a place they were going to be forced to enter.
"No,"
Ozzy said, struggling to get free.
"Let us go!"
Siggy yelled. The black clouds above them tightened up, and a light wind began to blow. The snow that had been falling straight down began to twist around them like thick white ribbons, and the courtyard grew darker as fear raced in from all 4 corners and filled the space up.
"Please!"
Ozzy shouted.
"He said please," Clark tweeted. "What kind of monster are you?" "Let us go," Ozzy added.
Ray didn't answer, but the wind increased, and with it, visibility dropped to near blindness. A disembodied voice called out,
"What's wrong with your ears?"
Ozzy and Siggy stopped struggling. Everyone swiveled around, looking through the swirling snow to see where the voice had come from. Ray's breath and his ears steamed.
"Who said that?"
he demanded. The blowing snow grew more violent.
"Let them go," the voice answered. "Who are you?"
Ray asked angrily.
"I don't appreciate others sticking their noses into my affairs." "Well," the voice said ominously, "appreciation has never been anything I've worried about."
Ozzy's heart began to beat rapidly as his finger buzzed, and Clark began to chirp like a loon as both bird and boy recognized who was speaking.
"Rin?"
Ozzy whispered excitedly.
"What?"
Siggy said.
"Where?"
The wind picked up, blowing the snow on the ground back up and into the air, where new snow was still falling. Ozzy blew the flakes from his face as he tried to spot the wizard.
"The bird warned you," the voice said.
The wind and weather made it sound as if the words were coming from everywhere and all over.
"The boy warned you."
The bodyguards twisted and turned in an effort to spot who was speaking.
"The girl warned you."
Ray was only 10 feet away from Ozzy, but the blowing snow was now making him almost invisible. The wind had grown so strong that the building they had been walking to was lost in a veil of white. Still, the two guards held on to the boy and girl.
"Let them go,"
the voice demanded.
"Show yourself,"
Ray shouted.
"By the time you see me, it will be too late." "Somebody do something,"
Ray yelled. There was a tremendous crack, followed by the sound of Ray screaming. Both Ozzy and Siggy took the noise as their cue to act. Ozzy lifted his right leg and threw it back into the knee of the man who was holding him. The man's leg buckled and they both fell to the snow-covered ground. Siggy went limp and slipped halfway out of the arms of her attacker. He attempted to squeeze her harder, but her teeth connected with his right forearm, and she bit down with a sense of purpose. As a rule, bodyguards are trained not to scream, but the one holding Siggy bellowed like a pro.
"Ah!"
Siggy fell to the snowy ground and sprang up to run. The bodyguard dove forward and grabbed her right ankle as he came crashing down on his knees. A bit of black peppered the white air and shot through the snow like a sentient bullet. Clark hit the guard's hand with a forceful impact. The bird's beak tore the bodyguard's skin, causing the large man to cry like a small child. The snow was now so blinding that it was impossible to see Ray or Sergeant Windhorst or anyone any longer. Ozzy scrambled to get to his feet, and as he did, he found Siggy reaching out to give him her hand. The two of them were so twisted around and confused that they couldn't tell which way to run.
"They're loose,"
they heard one of the bodyguards yell.
"We've lost the subjects. Find them,"
Ray yelled back. The powerful Mr. Dench sounded angry. His plan that had been running so smoothly was falling apart. Another bodyguard screamed. Ozzy and Siggy were snowblind but determined to get away. They ran as if they had some idea of where they were going. Clark landed on Ozzy's shoulder.
"He's here," the bird tweeted happily.
"I heard," Ozzy replied, his breathing becoming labored.
"Where is he now?"
"Who knows?" Clark said. "That wizard has a mind of his own. Just keep running straight. When you hit a wall, you've gone too far.
feel around for a door.
Where are you going?
I've got enough charge for a couple more strikes. I want these guys to remember me.
There's no way anyone could ever forget.
Thanks, Clark tweeted humbly. You say the nicest things. It's one of the reasons why I'm so fond of you. I think,
go!
Ozzy shouted. Clark shot off the boy's shoulder and returned to the scene of confusion. Ozzy could hear some yelling and screaming, but he held tight to Siggy's hand. Together they ran until they hit a wall.
Feel for a door!
Ozzy hollered. The snow felt like a plastic bag over their heads, making it hard to see and breathe. Siggy's hands found the door and then the knob. She pushed it open, and both children spilled into a hallway and out of the courtyard. They collapsed on the carpeted floor as the door slammed shut behind them. Siggy rolled onto her back, trying to capture enough air to appease her lungs. To her left, Ozzy was on his hands and knees, choking. He caught his breath and looked at Siggy. She was wet and cold and shivering as she lay on the floor. Her curly hair was like a dark sponge that had soaked up gallons of snow and water. A puddle the size of a small tub was forming where her head lay. Ozzy wasn't in much better shape. His body was a popsicle, and his face felt like it had been slapped by an angry and out-of-line Mother Nature. They were both a mess, but none of that mattered, because Rin was back.
Chapter 23 Rin.
Ozzy and Siggy lay in the empty hallway until they caught their breath. Then they moved as quickly and quietly as they could down the hall and toward the hotel rooms. To the best of their knowledge, nobody aside from Clark knew where they had gone. Now their hope was that they would be able to get out of the hotel before anyone else could detain them. Reaching a long hallway, they spotted a sign with an arrow that said, Lobby.
Should we go a different way? Siggy asked. We might run into more bodyguards.
I still think it's our best choice, Ozzy replied. I'm just not sure where any of the other exits go. They might lead us right back to the courtyard. We know the lobby will get us out. We just need to get to the street. Then we can hide until Rin finds us.
Okay, Siggy agreed.
Ozzy took off running down the hall toward the lobby. An old woman with a small dog came out of her room and blocked the way for a moment, but the two children pushed around her and kept sprinting. Getting closer, they could hear the piano playing.
Should we sneak through? Ozzy asked as they ran. Or just see what happens if we dash? Let's try the dashing thing!
The end of the hallway was in sight. They could see into the lobby and felt the hope that came with the possibility of freedom. Unfortunately, freedom often has a few snags. Margot stepped into the hallway. She stood still, staring straight at them, blocking their way.
Should we just knock her down?
Siggy yelled. There's a good chance that Ozzy was going to say something chivalrous and kind, like, No, I can't run down an innocent person. But no one will ever know, because Margot moved to the side of the hall and motioned for them to hurry past.
Thanks!
Ozzy yelled as he brushed by her.
The second door from the right pushes out easiest,
she yelled. There wasn't time to stop and figure out what she meant. There was only running. The boy and girl blew into the lobby, past the piano player, around the fountain, and toward the front doors.
Stop!
Someone yelled from the far side of the lobby.
Stop them!
There were a few elderly patrons milling around the space, but none of them attempted to stop the speeding children, as that would increase the possibility of broken bones.
Most shuffled out of the way as quickly as they could while shouting things like, "My word!" and "I never!" Everything was moving so quickly that it was hard for Ozzy to clearly see what was happening. Old people were stepping away, the piano playing had stopped, and shadowy bodyguards were closing in from all sides, racing toward them. The treasure chest lobby was chaotic and frightening. Ozzy eyed the front doors. There were bellhops near a couple of them, and patrons walking through a couple others, but the second door from the right wasn't blocked. Ozzy reached back to grab Siggy's hand, but she was already moving in front of him.
"Second door from the right!" he yelled.
"I heard her!" she yelled back. Siggy slammed up against the glass door and pushed it with such force that Ozzy felt certain it would shatter. But the glass held, and the door swung open violently. Once again, they were face to face with the freaky weather. The snow was blowing down the street like an enormous ghost working its way through a giant maze of buildings. Siggy and Ozzy were swallowed up by the sound of traffic and street life, disguised by the snow. Without saying a word, they turned right and continued running. They wove through people on the snowy sidewalk and down half a dozen blocks before turning left and ducking into a drugstore. Trying to act normal, they walked down one of the aisles toward the back of the store. Once they were near the vitamins and cold remedies, they stopped to get their bearings. The store's high shelves hid them from the view of any other shoppers and gave them a small sense of security.
"I don't think they followed us," Ozzy said, breathing hard.
"How could they?" Siggy replied. "I could barely see 3 feet in front of myself."
Ozzy wiped excess snow from his dark hair and dusted off his shirt and trousers. He looked at Siggy and smiled.
"We made it out. I can't believe it."
The relief in Siggy's dark eyes was evident.
"What about Rin and Clark?"
"I think I'm more worried about us," she replied. "It seems like a wizard and a bird stand a much better chance in this city than we do."
"This is not how I saw this trip going," Ozzy admitted.
"Nothing you do ever is," she pointed out. "I should have been mean to you when I first saw you on the beach."
"I can't argue that."
"We should find a way back to the airport," Siggy said softly. "We can wait there until our flight tomorrow morning. Hopefully Rin and Clark will contact us."
"Can you sleep at an airport?"
"It's not comfortable or advised."
"So just like most of the stuff we do," Ozzy said.
"Exactly. They won't kick us out, especially with weather like this."
"But if Ray has control of the cops, how do we stand a chance of getting out of here? I'm also not leaving this city without Clark and Rin."
"Well then, how do you propose we find them?"
"Maybe now he'll answer his phone."
Ozzy took Siggy's phone and attempted to call the wizard one more time. When Rin didn't pick up, he left another message.
"Rin, this is Ozzy. Please call us. We need to find you. Oh, and I guess I'll say maybe the world would be a better place if people stopped trying to harm other people."
Ozzy handed the phone back to Siggy.
"That was a pretty generic message," she said. "Of course the world would be better if everyone stopped trying to harm others."
"I was specifically talking about people doing harm to us."
A couple of aisles over, they can hear an old couple arguing.
"Maybe we should get out of here," Siggy suggested. "I'll feel better when we're as far away from that hotel as possible."
The arguing couple raised their voices. Siggy unlocked her phone and looked for the Uber app.
"We could get an Uber to the airport and..."
Siggy stopped talking. Ozzy's eyes were wide and his head was tilted as if he were listening for something.
"What?" she asked. "Should I not get an Uber?"
Ozzy ignored her, deciding instead to turn and march down the aisle.
"What are you doing?"
He came to the end of the vitamin row and moved 2 aisles over,
What? Siggy tried to ask. Ozzy held his finger to his lips. He then poked his head around the corner of the aisle and gasped.
I don't believe it,
he whispered. Siggy took a look. Not more than 15 feet away in front of the nail polish section, the old couple arguing turned out to be a wizard arguing with the metal raven on his shoulder. The sight was like 100 Christmases and 10 Halloweens rolled together, celebratory and sweet. Rin bent forward, trying to read something on the front of a bottle of nail polish. Even bent, he looked tall. In fact, the time they'd been apart made him look larger than life. His long, dark hair and beard were speckled with bits of gray that shimmered under the fluorescent lights of the drugstore. He was wearing his gray felt hat and his short yellow robe. Beneath the robe, he had on a black t-shirt and long trousers that were made out of a colorful tartan fabric. The trousers were a new addition. He had always sported dark jeans, but now his plaid legwear stood out like a fashion statement that didn't instantly make any sense. In his left hand, he was holding a long tree branch. Despite the trousers and the branch, Rin and Clark were a sight for sore and worried eyes. Ozzy and Siggy both walked awkwardly up to the aisle and stood 2 feet away from them. Ozzy cleared his throat, but the wizard and the bird were so caught up in their own conversation that they didn't seem to notice.
It's not right, Clark argued. Say the name out loud and you'll see.
Cole, Rin said.
Do you hear it? The bird tweeted. It's just like Cole, and there's a boy named Cole at Ozzy's school who did a report on how birds are a disease trap. Disease trap? Please, I clean my talons with metal polish twice a month.
Okay, Rin said, putting the bottle of coal-colored nail polish back and picking up another. Dark night.
How's it spelled?
N-I-G-H-T.
Nope. Is there a dark K-N-I-G-H-T?
Still unnoticed, Ozzy and Sig continued standing at the end of the aisle.
No, Rin insisted. He picked another bottle. Black licorice.
See if it smells.
Why? You can't smell things.
Still, I'd like to know that it smells good.
Siggy took a turn clearing her throat. Both Rin and Clark turned their heads and made eye contact with her and Ozzy. Rin smiled wide, acting as if a strong grin was the sign of a real wizard. Clark didn't grin, but he tilted his head a couple of times, which meant he was okay with what was happening.
Hello, Siggy, Rin said. Hi, Ozzy.
He then turned his attention from them and back to the nail polish.
So, we're going with black licorice.
Unbelievable, Siggy complained. That's all you have to say? Hello? We haven't seen you in 4 months. We almost got kidnapped just now, and for some unknown reason you just happened to show up in New York where we happened to be.
Nothing just happens,
Rin said kindly as he looked at a couple more jars of nail polish.
And the things that do, do so, so that we can master our reactions.
Ooh, Clark chirped. I like how that last sentence sounded. The things that do, do so, so that it's fun to tweet.
Thanks, Rin said humbly.
Dad,
Siggy said with disgust. The wizard turned from the staring at the wall of nail polish to stare lovingly at his daughter.
Have you gotten taller?
No, it's only been 4 months.
In your time, Rin reminded her. It's been much longer for me.
Well, that still wouldn't change things here.
Siggy stopped talking to rub her forehead.
What's with the branch?
This?
The wizard questioned as he looked at the long branch in his hand.
This broke off a tree in the courtyard. It may or may not be the thing I used to hit Ray so he'd let go of Clark. I actually needed a staff, and
This looks just about right.
None of this looks right, Siggy insisted.
I agree, Ozzy said. Is there a reason you're shopping for nail polish?
Yes, Clark answered. Do you remember when we were dealing with those ugly men in the blue suits earlier?
You mean a few minutes ago?
Yes, Clark said. Well, while I was putting a couple of them in their place, I suffered a few scratches. We figured nail polish would fix things up.
Clark flew from Wren's shoulder to Ozzy's right arm. Holding on to his sleeve with his talons, he spread his wings and showed off the two long scratches on his metal belly and chest.
Pretty bad, eh, right?
I don't know what that means, Ozzy admitted.
Me neither, the bird said, but I feel tougher.
And you'll feel even tougher once you get a good coating of black licorice nail polish on you, Siggy said sarcastically.
We should stop talking about nail polish, Ozzy said, exasperated. This is New York and none of us belong here. But here we are, in the same shop. This is phenomenal.
Clark looked around. I've seen bigger stores.
Not the store, the coincidence.
Rin reached out and put his right hand on Ozzy's left shoulder.
Have you forgotten what magic is?
I think what I forgot was how hard it is to get a straight answer from you. I'd just like to know how we all ended up right here, right now.
It's best not to go asking questions when you've already formed the answer in your head, Rin counseled him.
Do you want me to say that I tracked Siggy's phone and knew where you were and what you were doing every step of the way?
Is that what happened? Siggy asked.
No, but even if that had been the case, there's still wonder in the process. Doesn't matter how a wizard works, or is the importance in what outcome the work provides.
How about you just tell us how you knew we were here? Ozzy said.
I'm a wizard. You should know that. You were the one who originally answered my ad.
Ozzy's finger buzzed, and Rin noticed it.
Just as I thought, he said confidently.
What? Ozzy asked. My finger? Do you know what's been happening to Ozzy? Siggy asked.
I know just what I should know, and I don't care for what I shouldn't.
Siggy looked upset.
What?
That plaque there.
Rin pointed to a shelf behind Ozzy and Siggy. It was filled with dozens of hand-painted plaques with folksy sayings on them. The biggest plaque had the words Rin had just spoken on it. There were others that had some of the things he had said earlier.
So you don't know what Ozzy's going through? Siggy asked.
That's not true. In fact, I came back because of it.
You did?
Rin nodded and said,
There can only be one me, so I'll make me my best.
Ozzy and Siggy shook their heads.
Can we at least have this conversation somewhere without plaques? Siggy asked.
Of course, Rin replied. We should also make our way out of the city. I have a feeling that those men aren't going to just give up.
I agree, Ozzy said.
Rin looked at his daughter and then at Ozzy. Still holding his branch, he placed his left hand on Siggy's right shoulder and his right hand and staff against Ozzy's left arm as if he were going to push them together. Instead, he smiled and said,
Love is the soul giggling.
Stop reading the plaques, Siggy answered.
They really are awful, the wizard said. I've always hated the word giggling. Now, I want to tell you two that it is very fortuitous and wonderful that you found me here.
I agree, Ozzy said.
Siggy looked to make sure that her dad wasn't just quoting another plaque.
It's especially wonderful because I forgot to bring any money, and Clark needs that finger paint.
Ozzy purchased the nail polish, and the four of them got into an Uber in front of the store that drove them through the fading snowstorm toward the airport.
These rideshare apps are enchanting, the wizard said. You need to go somewhere and poof, a way is provided. Such a magical world.
It felt good to have Rin back. Of course,
It felt bad to know that they were in a situation so dire that it required the help of a wizard.